Psalm 139. It's kind of been my feel that in recent days, we've got a lot of thoughts on our minds. As we deal with the steady wave of people getting sick, the steady wave of prayer requests, things stretching on, the different things that we're getting on the news, the different updates, the different reports, the statistics, the models, the press conferences, the varied opinions that people have these days about all kinds of things, medical things, timeline things, how to handle everything. There's just so many thoughts flying around these days that it feels sometimes like no one knows anything. At the same time, it also sounds sometimes like everyone's all of a sudden become a professional outside of their field. Everyone knows everything about the virus. Everything, if you ask anyone, except for the ones who are in charge, everyone has an answer as to how to deal with this and how to get us back to normal. And at the end of the day, I think we all have to admit we're all pretty helpless. We all don't know as much as we think we know, want to know, would like to know. And we have to stop expecting everybody to know everything too. There is one who knows everything. There's one who knows everything that needs to be known about you and your situation. And it's not your doctor. It's not your spouse. It's not your pastor. It's the Lord. Take a look at Psalm 139. Psalm 139 is given to us from David. And in this psalm, it's written in several sections. You can see these sections. The first section describes the Lord knowing. And it runs through verse 6. The second section, from verses 7 to 12, describes the Lord's presence. And the third section, verses 13 to 16, describes the Lord's creation of human life. And then there's a little conclusion. There's a problem that we see David was facing, and then his final response. I want to look at that final response tonight, but before I do, I want to look at the psalm that precedes it with you. And I think it will really encourage your heart with all the things that you and we are going through right now. I want to encourage you tonight to rest in the one who knows. Psalm 139, let's read the first section together. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before, laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. We read in these verses David's reflection about the omniscience of the Lord. The omniscience of the Lord means that the Lord knows everything. There's nothing that he does not know. You see, the Lord himself, he not only knows all things, but he knows all possibilities. He doesn't know just what happened in the past, what is happening in the present, but what is happening in the future. He knows what could have happened in the past, could have happened in the present, and could have happened in the future. He knows all possible outcomes. He knows all things, everything. And he knows everything about you. You see, in times like this, everyone's throwing around models and statistics, theories, ideas, suggestions, solutions. But none of it seems conclusive. None of it seems authoritative. No matter who we parade behind any platform, podium, or microphone, you're never going to get anyone to tell you anything that you have 100% confidence in right now. But let's not complain about that. Let's recognize that even if you were put behind that platform, you wouldn't know what to say. You don't even know sometimes what to do with your own personal life on a day-to-day basis. And so we have to recognize as people, we or anyone else doesn't know like the Lord knows. It's times like this when we're reminded how little we all know, even the most professional, powerful people in the world, how much we don't know. When we're reminded of that, that is not the time to become a personal expert to make up for the lack of everyone else's knowledge. It's also not a time for us to complain. Instead, it's a time for us to turn to the one who genuinely does know everything. Not just everything in the world, but everything about you. Everything about you is known by the Lord. David says, "Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off." What he's saying is, you don't even have to be near me. See, right now, we wish we could gather together at church physically. But the thing is, with the Lord, you don't need to physically meet with the Lord for him to know what you're thinking. We like these online interactions where we can see each other's face, don't we? Not just hear each other's voice. Because facial expressions help us to understand the thoughts that are in our hearts. But David is saying that I don't have to be anywhere near the Lord for him to know what I'm thinking. Today we have teledocs, where you can call a doctor and they can help you work things out on the phone, right? But to do that, you have to tell them things. You have to explain to them what you're feeling, give them your symptoms, tell them your thoughts. It's not that way with the Lord. The Lord knows everything that you've ever thought before you ever come close to him. He knows everything. Let that soak in. He actually knows everything. There is someone who knows everything about you, and that is the Lord. Another thing that we need to note then is not only is the Lord omniscient, he knows everything about you, he's also omnipresent. Look at the next verses, Psalm 139, verses 7 to 12. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." When he says, if I go up into heaven, he's talking, from what I can tell, about the sky, the uppermost reaches of the sky. And when he speaks about hell there, he's speaking about Sheol. We've talked about that before on a Wednesday night. He's talking about the grave, as deep into the ground as you can go. You can't fly high enough into the sky or dig deep enough into the ground to get to a place where God isn't with you. It's not just that he doesn't know where you are, where he isn't with you and present. So during this time of self-isolation, it is super encouraging to know that no matter what we're going through, the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, knows everything about you. Number two, he is always with you. He's always there. You don't need an 800 number to call him. You don't need teleconferencing. He's always there. Because even when you are alone in your home for long periods of time, the Lord is present. He's there. He's there just as much in the midday sun as he is at midnight. The darkness can't hide you from him. He sees everything. He knows everything. He is everywhere. That is our God. Have you had moments recently where you felt alone? Where you felt either spiritually, emotionally, or literally in the dark? Well, you're not in the dark. The Lord is with you. But notice what else David writes. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance, being yet unformed. In your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So, in the first section, David meditates on the fact that God is omniscient. In the second section, he meditates on the fact that God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. In this third section, can you guess what he's writing about? That the Lord is omnipotent. Look at what he says, how he opens this section. You formed my inward parts. You formed my inward parts. He's talking about the creation of your physical being and your spiritual being. When you were conceived, yes, there were physical, natural processes at work, but God was involved in bringing that to pass. When no one else could see you, when you were just a couple of microscopic organisms coming together, when that was developing and in the mother's womb continued to grow and flourish, and the different parts of your body and the components of who you are as a person began to develop and grow and come into existence. It was the Lord who was doing that and knew everything about you. That's why it's important for us during times like this to really respect life, right? We have to learn to respect the life of the people who are around us by being careful with this virus. We don't want people to die that don't need to die, even if that means a little bit of inconvenience for us, right? That's important. But we respect life also on the other side of the womb, don't we? Because we believe that the Lord is actively involved in developing us as living beings from the very early stages. This isn't something that kicks into action in month 7 or 6 or after so many weeks. From the moment you're conceived, God was at work putting you together, making you the person he wanted you to be. That's very reassuring. It's also reassuring, too, because right now, sometimes we can feel physically out of touch, like we're not being cared for, like we're not receiving good quality care, like there's no one there. Now, I do know that Seth Basto has quality care at home right now, with Primo on At her side, she has elite premium care. But we don't all have someone like that, right, watching over us who's got those kind of skills as Primo does. I tell you what, even then, though, still, there's a feeling of helplessness. But there shouldn't be, because we know that despite our frailties and the weakness and the things that we go through, the Lord is by our side. He always is. He's been by our side, not just from birth till now. He's been by our side from conception. I want you to think about that. There's the vastness that is described in this psalm of the parts of the earth going down into the ground all the way up to the heights of the heavens. What a vast, vast, humongous space that is being described. But you go from the greatness of the sky to the earth to the intimacy of the human womb. It's a fascinating poem to describe all of these different aspects to our world and to our life, isn't it? And yet the Lord himself is intimately involved in all of this. He's present everywhere. And he knows everything about you that needs to be known. So stop and think about this. Right now, you and I, as Christians, if you know God, Jesus Christ, as your personal Savior, then you have one caring for you who knows everything about you, who's always there, and has been meeting your needs from the moment you were conceived. So think on that. As David reflects on this, then look at verses 17 and 18. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they should be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. One of the struggles that I have as a pastor is right now there's so many things going on in our lives. This person gets sick, that person gets sick. That person is still sick. This person is still sick. This person has something recur. This person went to the hospital. All these kind of things are going on. And as a pastor, I feel this need to be thinking about all of these things all the time, to be keeping all of you in my mind all the time, to be feeling your suffering along with you all of the time. And when I try to do that, you know what I end up being like? Like a clown at the circus trying to juggle the balls, only I'm not as good as that clown. I can't take 5, 6, 12, 50 prayer request balls and keep them all up in the air at one time, can I? What I have to do is at certain times, pause, pick up those balls, and pray for them. But I, as a human being, even as a pastor, have to know when to set those balls down. I can't consume myself with thinking about all of our challenges right now incessantly. And even if I tried, I wouldn't be successful. And you can't either. There's a time to pray. There's a time to pause, to remember, to say, Lord, bless this person. There are also times that a person comes into your mind, or a trial or a circumstance comes into your mind, and at that moment, you are often wise to pause and to pray for that person in that moment. However, you don't have to retain that prayer request for the next, 60 minutes and just keep holding on to it. If you've prayed and you've given it to the Lord, you know that it's in good hands, that prayer request. And so, how precious are your thoughts towards me? What David is saying is, it is so incredibly valuable to know that you are like this, that you think about me like this. Now, the God who is omnipresent, omniscient, and omnipotent, and by the way, he's also eternal, he never sleeps or slumbers. This God is thinking about you right now. He is having thoughts about you. He's been having thoughts about you from eternity. Now, Psalms are poetry. Psalms are fascinating in that way. I already mentioned the way that David has described from the lower parts of the ground all the way up to the heights of the heavens. That's one way that poetry in the Bible does what it does. It'll take two extremes and compare them to each other so that you can understand a large concept. Now, there's another thing that poetry does. It's called hyperbole. Perhaps you know what this means. Hyperbole means to exaggerate something to make a point. So, there might be a time where David says, "My enemies have pulled all my bones apart and crushed them and thrown them to the four winds of the world." You know that's not true. David's enemies have not taken his bones and crushed them and thrown them to the four corners of the world. That's not even possible. In fact, he was alive if he wrote such a thing, so that hasn't even happened. What David is saying in a moment like that is he's saying, I'm under incredible stress right now. My enemies are really causing problems. I feel like they have broken all my bones and thrown me to the four winds of the earth. Now, that's hyperbole. It's an exaggeration to make a point. But here's the reason I bring that up. Is David exaggerating when he says about the Lord that the thoughts that the Lord has towards him and towards any one of us are more than the sand on the sea? I mean, we can't count how many sand particles are on the seashores of the world, can we? That's a number that's probably as much or more than the stars of the universe. I don't know. However, when David says, "The thoughts that you have towards me, God, are more in number than the sands on the sea," I don't think that's hyperbole. I don't think he's just saying this great, fantastic thing just to let God know that he's impressed by how many thoughts God has towards him. I think what David is saying is true in this case, because we're talking here about the Lord. We're talking about the Lord. And friend, let me tell you right now, all the thousands of thoughts that are going through your head every single day, I want you to know that the Lord has had infinitely more thoughts than that just towards you alone. You alone. So you can rest in that. And David says, that is so valuable to know that I have the Lord thinking about me like that. You have that kind of thoughtful attention right now by the Lord. And we need to be encouraged by that. If you're sitting at home battling illness, if you're going to work wondering if you're going to get ill, if you're juggling prayer requests and you're in these text messaging discussions with people in the church, or you're watching the news, or whatever it is that you've got going on in your life, just rest knowing this, that the Lord, who's omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient, has countless thoughts about you and you alone. That is so valuable right now, isn't it? Notice what David continues to say then. In the next verses, 19 to 22, he finally reveals to us why he's even thinking about this in the first place. See if you can find out. Let's take a look. "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies." So David here is on the run, and I don't know what moment in his life this is talking about, but he had people out to kill him. They were actually after his life. If they could find him, they would kill him with a spear, shoot him with an arrow, stab him with a sword, cut his head off. I mean, that's what he was dealing with. I don't deal with that. I don't live life on the run. I don't have someone hunting me down, do I? And you don't either. However, I think you can say, this is the reason why David was thinking the thoughts that he is talking about in Psalm 139, right? Because it was the thoughts of God's knowledge of him, the thoughts of God's presence with him, and the thoughts of God's intimate involvement in his life from the formation, from his conception. That gave him great comfort knowing that as he lived life on the run, the Lord was paying attention to his life in every detail. He didn't have to be afraid. Now, we're not living life on the run. We've got other problems, don't we? Now, these problems that we're facing, I think you could take this section of the psalm and you could set it off to the side. Don't take it out of the Bible, right? Just set it off maybe in the side margins and pop in there your struggle. Oh, Lord, help me because I'm dealing with this illness and I don't know when it's going to go away. Oh, Lord, help me. My finances are getting very tight and I don't see any hope for restoring them right now. Oh, Lord, I've had relatives who've passed away and I haven't been able to see them and I miss them and I'm really sorrowing and grieving that loss right now. There's so many things that we are facing right now, right? Well, you can pop those things into that section of this psalm. I think it'll make a lot of sense. Let's finish this out. Let's look at the rest of this psalm. David says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting." Now, if you grew up on the King James Bible, you're expecting "try me and know my thoughts." Well, that word "thoughts," I love how the New King James in this case translates it as anxieties, because that's what that word is speaking about. It's speaking about anxious thoughts, thoughts that are out of order, thoughts that are on the edge, worried thoughts. That's what he's speaking about. He's not just saying, "Know what I'm thinking about, Lord." Why? Because the Lord already knows what David's thinking about. That's been made clear earlier in the psalm. What David is saying here is, I want you, God, to now, on the basis of all that I have just thought about you, that's true, I want you to go through my thoughts and point out wherever I'm not trusting you. That's what he's talking about. Now, that word anxieties is something that we all feel right now in different ways, right? Now, that word anxieties is used elsewhere in the Old Testament as well. Look at Jeremiah 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. In Jeremiah 17, we read verse 8. Jeremiah 17, 8. Talking about the righteous man, verse 7, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord." Verse 8, "For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green." Now, what does that remind you of? It reminds you of Psalm chapter 1, doesn't it? So Jeremiah is thinking about that as he writes this, but also he finishes by adding a little bit extra. Notice what he does. "Its leaf will be green and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit." What is he talking about? Well, he's saying that if you are a righteous person, a person who has a close relationship with the Lord, then even when there is a famine, and there's a lack of food supply, there's a shortage of crops, and a shortage of income, you won't have anxiety because you're trusting in the Lord. And you know who he is. And you know his thoughts towards you. So, anxiety, it's the feeling that you might have when you run out of food and you run out of money. But the righteous person who truly understands the Lord won't have those anxious thoughts. So this word anxiety, I want to challenge us together tonight. Ask the Lord to search your heart and to point out wherever you may be having anxiety right now. Notice what David says. Try me, test me, know my anxieties, and see if there's any wicked way in me. Now, wicked is a word that can refer to really bad sins that you have committed. And that is certainly a good question to ask ourselves right now. But that word also can mean a similar thing to anxiety, stresses, thoughts that, again, out of order, thoughts that are inappropriate for a child of God. And I'll tell you, anxiety is a thought process that a child of God needs to learn how to diagnose and to remove. For us as Christians, let me encourage us during this time to think much about our God. Think about His knowledge of you. Think about His presence in your life. Think about His intimate involvement in your life from your conception forward to this very day, and realize you are in the best of care right now. No matter what is going on in the world, you are in the best of care. So let the Lord sort through and test your thoughts right now and see if there's any errant thoughts, any anxiety that as a child of God you need to set to the side. Now, you're not like David. You don't have someone chasing you down with threats on your life trying to stab you at the next chance they get. I mean, that's real duress. That's a real problem, isn't it? And yet, our problems are real too. See if there's any thoughts like that. Ask the Lord to help you with that. And here's the funny thing, right? We don't even know our own thoughts very well, do we? We have to go to the Lord who knows everything about us to help us understand our own thoughts and to get the anxiety out of our thought process. He finishes by saying, "Lead me in the way everlasting." During this time, as we go through the challenges we're facing, let's realize we are on just a small step right now. Even if this pandemic lasts for 10 years, we are still facing a very small moment in the spectrum of eternity. What we do with this moment can teach us astronomical lessons about our God. And is one step in our eternal journey with God. Let's continue to follow God during this time in His way everlasting. And let's see the big picture. I hope that this has been encouraging to you tonight to think about the omniscience, the omnipresence, and the intimate omnipotence of our God. He is involved in your life right now. There isn't a thought you've thought, question you've had that He doesn't know about. He's going to be there for you. Another angle of this I want to throw out there is this. For those of you with the gift of mercy, and for those who are really stepping up to the plate, praying for each other and communicating with each other and all these kind of things, don't feel the stress and the weight of that. Have sympathy and empathy for one another, pray for one another, communicate with one another, yes. But you'll be overwhelmed if you try to be like God in that. You can't handle it like that. When you go to bed tonight, go to bed, sleep, let God take care of the rest. I like what David said in Psalm 139. I forget the verse, but he said, "And when I wake up, I am still with you." What is he saying? If you really understand the depth of what Psalm 139 is saying, it seems unimaginable. It's too good to be true. It's like a dream. You ever have a dream like that, that is too good to be true? And then you wake up and you realize, oh, it's just a dream. It wasn't real. I'm telling you, Psalm 139, friends, is not a dream. It's real. God really is for you like that. And I hope that we can realize that for one another and not stress ourselves out worrying for one another as we do pray and show empathy and compassion. We serve a great God. He was there for David thousands of years ago, and He's going to be there for us today as He has been. I'm looking forward to seeing you again on Sunday. Thank you for praying for me that I would have strength even to bring this Bible study despite the migraine. God has helped me with that. I appreciate that. And I hope that this has been a blessing to you. Psalm 139 is precious. Let it sink into your heart and mind during this time. Let's pray.
Thank you for tuning in to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church. We are conveniently located in Corona, New York City, and are devoted to loving God and making disciples. For more resources and helpful information about our church, visit studygodsword.com. We'd also like to extend a personal invitation for you and your family to join us on Sundays at 9:30 in the morning for a time of interactive Bible study for young people and adults, followed by an 11 o'clock worship and preaching service. If you have young children, they will really enjoy our exciting Bible-based children's ministries in both the morning Bible study hour and worship service. If you have any questions about the church or would like to learn how to have a personal relationship with God, please give us a call or leave some feedback at studygodsword.com. We would be thrilled to meet you in person and show you firsthand what God is doing at Faith Baptist Church. Until next time, may God richly bless you.